way you talk. I hate the word you use. I hate the way you think.
Hello and greetings.
Hi. What's happening?
Nothing. What's happening with you?
Nothing. Same old stuff. You know, work.
Yeah.
Just dinner.
Yeah.
And this.
Yeah.
This is a podcast that we're recording.
It is. It is a podcast.
Yeah.
Speaking of which.
Yes.
To the listeners, welcome to the Antisocial Isolation Podcast.
Fuck my
with
face.
Your host and hostess, Joseph and Carol Ann.
That was the introduction that nobody wanted, but you always provide. Thank you. Thank you. No, seriously, thanks.
Again, you don't step in to introduce anything.
No, that's
so
your job.
So back off, buddy.
It's your job.
Uh-huh. Everything is.
God.
So what's been going on with you? What are you bringing to the table today, Joseph?
Well, some sad news first, I think. Bob Saget died.
He did.
I call him America's dad because of his Full House and America's Funniest Home Videos, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure everybody's seen, because every story now is, you know, he had this soft side, this common man's. I mean, he was like a really raunchy comic, which is hilarious because
right.
people who don't know that world didn't know him.
But yes.
Yeah, but I mean, he was like two different personalities. But yeah.
Most people probably didn't even realize that he was a stand-up comic.
Yeah, I know. A lot of actors were. And also, in podcast world and people dying, not America's dad, but Tom Segura's dad. So the Your Mom's House podcast that I've referred to before.
He is also a stand-up comedian, yeah, not just a podcaster.
Who we're going to see in about a month.
He's one of your faves.
Yeah, his dad died too. And nobody would really care, but if you listen to that show, and you look like he's part of the show. Like, they calls in, they play messages that he leaves Tom Segura. Enough of his jokes.
His
yeah,
now?
Right, exactly. He's got a lot of jokes about stuff his dad does. It's hilarious. But yeah, there you go. That's the opening. People are dead. People are dying.
It happens.
I know. It happens
a
lot.
We're all going to expire sometime.
A lot of people dying, especially with this COVID nonsense. Did you see the Erie County positivity rate? Like, the last few days has been like 23% and 24%.
I'm not surprised.
I know, me neither.
Everybody
it's
is
hilarious,
getting it.
But I think we peaked here. At least it looks like it's starting to trend downward, which is great. But they're encouraging. They're like, we're going to give you tests. We're going to provide tests. Come and pick up your tests. And yeah, there's going to be more positive tests because more people are testing. But I wonder how many of those people actually report the results with an at-home test.
I'm sure they don't.
Yeah, I wonder.
Why would you?
I don't know. If you had, like, close contact with people and you're like, oh, shit, I just tested positive today and I, you know, we were making out yesterday.
Well, you would tell that person.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you don't report it to the government. You call up the New York Department of Health and be like, oh, hey, by the way.
Yeah, let's keep the G-men out of this one, all right? We're going to play this one. Close to the vest. Did you ever have a vest in the 80s? Remember they were a thing there? You didn't have... Yeah, I don't know if they were a thing with girls as much, right?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
What do you mean? Like Michael J. Fox wore that vest in Back to the Future?
That puffy one?
Yeah, the puffy vests.
Oh. No.
Oh. Mm-mm. We had some. My brother and I had some.
You had puffy vests?
Yeah, and this was, I don't know, God... Early to mid 80s, probably early 80s, I would say.
No, well, then you, I mean, you were older. You weren't like a little kid.
Well, no. Well, yeah. I mean, I was, you know, maybe 12, 11 or 12. But it's funny. I remember we were, I don't know why I thought of this. We used to, you know, we'd play as kids do, you know, a bunch of you get together and like you're playing like, you know, shoot 'em games or something outside and running around. People are hiding. You got to try and find them and pretend to shoot them with toy guns.
Mm hmm.
I was crafty even at a young age. I was wearing my vest while we were beginning this game. I took it off, kind of smushed it into like a tall shrub so that they would see it just a little and think I was hiding there. And I ambushed those motherfuckers. They took the bait. Hook, line, and sinker.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I'm always
big
a step
ahead.
Big win
for you, was it? Stuck with you for a long time?
Oh, yeah. It was a big win. It was absolutely a gigantic dub for me.
You were quite clever. Quite clever?
Quite clever. Quite clever. I was clever when I was a little boy. I'm still very clever.
You're something. That's for sure.
I'm a meat clever. No, that didn't work.
No, that didn't, no.
Clevical? Cleverical?
Can you take that back?
Leave it to clever? I don't know. Leave it to clever?
Boy.
Levitt's not a word. Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Speaking of cleavers.
Yes.
Have you ever been to a meat raffle?
Have I been to a meat raffle? Have I? No, I have not yet. We've thought about going to some before.
Do you even know what a meat raffle is?
I'm assuming it's something where they raffle meat. Right? I mean, it's in the name.
Yeah, but you know what? It's almost intimidating because, like, there's stuff that goes along with it.
You get
like,
there.
You gotta, it sounds like it's almost like a strip club. You got to have, you know, $1 bills on you, a whole bunch of them, and they're raffling. I don't know how they raffle it. There's something to do with a wheel, and there's different rounds. I don't understand what happens. It sounds all too complex. Very intimidating.
The way you describe it makes it sound complex. I'm assuming that it's probably not that hard to figure out.
Seriously, I will read this to you. This sounds just too complex for me to handle right here.
Okay. Lay it on me, sister.
After paying your admission, you select a seat at the table. I can handle that much.
So far,
partake
so good.
In your beverage of choice. Apparently, that's very important.
It's probably just beer or wine, but...
Right. Well, I think a lot of them you bring your own, too. The meat raffle begins with an exchanging of your large bills for dollar bills.
Oh, boy.
Right? Then...
The money changers like Jesus threw out of the temple.
Right? And then the meat raffle is divided into, quote-unquote, rounds. At the beginning of each round, the MC will announce the number of spins of the wheel for that particular round.
Is one of the rounds called the ground round? Because that would be funny if in a meat raffle. Damn it.
This may be one spin per round, maybe four or five. I don't know how it's determined, but that's what it says. And it says the more spins per round, the better chances are of winning a piece of meat with the same ticket. Ticket sellers walk around the room at the beginning of each round selling tickets. Each ticket typically costs $1. And usually have two or more numbers. This means that if the wheel lands on either of your numbers for that round, you win the meat for that spin. Each bin produces multiple winners because the same numbers are sold to multiple people each round. So how is it? I mean, every round you got to buy tickets. There's multiple spins. Multiple people have the same numbers. It sounds like craziness all over meat. They're probably, it's like 3-pound bags of Salins wieners and Polish sausage.
Why is that a bad thing? Well, hot dogs.
Well, we don't really eat any of that.
Good.
We don't really, every time I see people post pictures or whatever of their winnings from a meat raffle, it's not like most of the time they're not bringing home like a nice filet. No filet mignon in there anywhere. They're bringing home hot dogs and some sausage, maybe some ground beef.
I see. But so,
anyways, it just sounds really complex, and I really think that it is primarily a Western New York thing.
Why do you think that?
Well, because I asked my brother who lives in Virginia, and he said, no, they don't have anything like that. And they are in abundance here.
Maybe Virginia has some obscure law where you're not able to resell or repurpose meat once you've purchased it. Maybe.
Well, most
Virginia's
of it's not
weird.
Purposed because most of it comes directly from a butcher.
There's no butcher meat here. Come on.
Yeah. Well, yes, it is. Where do you think all the meat comes from?
I think when you're talking butcher, you're talking about the high quality things that you just mentioned aren't a part of meat raffles. The filet mignons and such. See, that's what you get from a butcher. You're not going to a butcher to get, fucking ground round or ground beef or whatever.
Well, any place that cuts meat is a butcher. So like Market in the Square down the street has their own butcher department.
Lorena Bobbitt?
Sure.
She cut meat.
I might have to take a lesson out of her book.
Whoa. No.
So for anyone listening to this that's not familiar with meat raffles, they're usually done as a fundraising event.
Right.
Non-for-profits and charities and things like that.
Got it.
Interesting. In most places, there are places here that actually apparently sell lots of meat. butchers that sell lots of meat for meat raffles. Yes. So whatever it is, it's like a predetermined package. Like this is, you know, package number one for the meat raffle, or you can, the charity can get, I don't know.
Think you've spoken so much about meat raffles that people probably heard more than they ever wanted to know. Second, we're just going to have to go to one and then report on it. Yeah. You know, we're doing this.
I don't like going around people.
Well, we don't have to necessarily interact with people.
I feel like there's a lot of people at these things.
There probably are. So what? Doesn't mean you got to like freaking exchange email addresses with people and keep in contact with them afterwards.
I know, but people try to initiate conversation with me and...
All right. Thanks for the update on that then.
You're welcome.
Guess we won't be winning any meat.
Someday we can go if there is a charity that we feel worthy of our dollar bills.
Yeah. There's not.
I think there isn't the fire department down the street having one soon?
They have them sometimes. I don't know if they're having one soon, but
okay. Anyways.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Please, thank you. Whew. That was far more involved than I think anybody wished it would be, including myself. I'm just kidding. Thank you for the information. It's good to know. Dude, I am getting the worst static electricity shocks in this house lately. I have to figure out what the combination is. I don't know if it's like when I have
my
on...
My evil plan is working.
It's like when I have on my hoodie and shoes or what, like I have to eliminate potential causes of this because I have like fucking PTSD when I'm going to turn on and off lights sometimes because they're such violent shocks when I get them. It's ridiculous.
You will never figure it out.
Okay. Listen, you didn't understand meat raffles. I highly doubt you've concocted some sort of grand plan to static shock me on light switches only. That's not you know, up in your wheelhouse to do something like that. But I appreciate
that
you trying
mean
to take
I wouldn't have,
for it.
I wouldn't have sought someone that would be able to help me with
sure.
such a plan.
Yeah.
I may have solicited outside assistance
sure.
in such a plan.
That would be shocking if that's the case. yeah,
well,
but it's
you
bad.
You keep working on it.
It is bad. Like I've reverted to hitting because I don't know if we said it on here, but all of the light switches in our house, because we have an old house and I'm a geek when we redid the electrical and all that, all of our light switches are the old-fashioned push-button ones. So you got to actually physically, you can't just like flip up and down a switch. You have to physically push in a button to turn it on or off. And that's not that easy to do with your elbow as like a traditional light switch would be. You can just kind of swipe up and down motion. Yeah. So I really don't have a choice but to get shocked most of the time when I'm trying to turn on and off a light. It's terrible.
You shock me all the time?
Shocker. Two in the pink.
No, stop.
What?
Don't. You're editing that out.
I am. Hey, did you see? I think there are times frequently that you consider leaving me. And I'm not saying it's without cause, you know. But sometimes there's nothing I can do about it. And I think this might be one of those times.
Okay.
Did you see that Jason Momoa is divorcing Lisa Bonet?
I may or may not have seen that. Sure.
I'm afraid you're going to try and be the next Khaleesi. Mm. Is that the right word? Did I nail that?
Yeah, it's pretty close.
Yeah.
remember earlier when my phone went off and it startled you in
yes.
the kitchen? That may or may not have been my divorce attorney.
Oh, okay.
Me back. So wow. It's already in the works. Sorry.
All right, fair enough. Did you already land Aquaman or is this just you're giving up? On this,
I can't
speak
about
it. That. Interesting. Okay. Well, good for you. I mean, that's great. That means I can really dedicate myself to pursuing Drew Barrymore full time now.
Mm.
All right.
There you go. Works for both of us then.
It sure does. We'll see each other on like red carpet events.
Exactly.
And we'll
I'll
run
give
into
you a
each
fist
other.
Bump.
Be like,
it'll be all right.
Hey, how's it going, man? Hey, oh, Jason, is it? Yeah. Hey, how's it going? You doing all right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, I'm sorry, you'll have to excuse me. We have an after party to go to that you guys weren't invited to. And that's how it's going to happen. And I will walk hand in hand with Drew Barrymore down that red carpet into a waiting limousine.
And you think your after party with Drew is going to be better than my after party with Jason Momoa?
Yes. And here's why.
Ooh, now that's something funny.
Because Drew has a network affiliation, and there will be a lot of impressive Hollywood people there.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? You going to go to like the aquarium? He can talk to fish?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see. You're going to be so jealous of me and Drew. Yep. So, all right. So that's what I had a good reason to worry about that then, apparently. Okay.
Oh, well, there it is. Fair it's enough. Out there.
Did you hear Bob Saget died?
Boy. I noticed you didn't talk about your girlfriend, Betty White. Or did we discuss her last time?
I'm pretty sure we did.
Yeah, we did last time.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Why is she my girlfriend? No, yeah, we definitely did, because we were like, who the hell cares?
Yeah.
I remember talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, how's your training going? We got what? 6 weeks until our half marathon, trail half marathon in Ohio.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Okay, good training? Guess. Yeah, we're doing it.
We are.
Per the training plan that we found.
Yep.
We'll see, because now this week it starts to pick up a bit after this week. So
yeah,
the mileage starts to increase exponentially now. So.
But even like my morning run the other day, was it just yesterday, right? Yeah, that... Even normally my morning runs are just 3 miles. This is a 4 mile run.
Mm-hmm.
So I know, I think what Saturday we're supposed to run 6 to start.
Correct.
Getting the miles back up. And
yeah, the biggest challenge, at least a couple times this week, is the weather.
Yeah.
I mean, normally winter weather doesn't deter us much. We've, you know, over the years we've accumulated some decent cold weather running gear and and we can maneuver pretty well. Most of the bad weather, but
if we can figure out how to manipulate the weather, that is significant.
Yeah,
we need the
snow miser for that one. But Saturday might be a challenge.
I think
the high on
it is.
Saturday is 13 degrees. That doesn't take into account wind chill.
Yeah,
I believe my trusty weatherman here locally, the Hammer, he said that it was going to be negative double digits wind chill.
What?
At times on Saturday. So, yeah, we'll have to see how that works out.
Yeah, as it stands, like, right now, so let's say we would go running at, what's a typical, like, 9 in the morning, maybe? We wake up, have breakfast, coffee, get ready. As of right now, 9 on Saturday morning is going to be 6 degrees with an 11-mile-per-hour wind. The real feel will be negative 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even as hardy as we are, and I really don't mind going out in cold weather usually, especially if we're going to be doing, you know, a race at the end of February, running in the cold, you know, you got to get used to that. But I think that's just approaching a dangerous level.
Yeah, that's
especially
a little,
when I got my nods.
That's a little crazy. Yeah, you got your nods. I've had
my Ray nods.
Whatever, second or third degree frostbite, second degree, right? Frostbite
yeah,
on my toes
had
twice.
Infections and,
I think I'm infected. So, yeah, we definitely have to be careful. But the training is going good. I'm enjoying it. I've been doing the cross training stuff too, like strength and core.
Mm-hmm.
Which I know I've tried to get jump started here, but I think that it's part of a plan. It forces me to do it. And I'm not running on those days most of the time. So in the morning, I got nothing else to do. I got to do that. So
got to do it.
Found a bunch of things on YouTube with different workouts and things like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that on YouTube.
God. I definitely did not watch a 25-minute Neil Peart interview from about 9 years ago today on YouTube.
Nobody cares. Most people don't even know who that is. So there's that.
How dare you? Anyway, I'm just saying. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff on YouTube, but there's a lot of good workouts on there. And I found this. I don't even know who they are. I just always end up on their videos. This couple, it's a young, fit folks that have really good workouts.
Awesome.
So it's fun.
So yeah, my yoga show. Well, I don't want to say it's a show, but yoga
my
channel.
My programs.
Because I've been consistently keeping up on some of my morning yoga, is YouTube. Mm-hmm. Little yoga.
Well, it's Adrienne. Everybody knows Adrienne.
Not everybody.
She's very, very known, though. I mean, she's like the yoga Yoda.
Sure.
Kind of. Well, she is.
I don't know. She's got a really cute dog, though. Good old Benji.
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 Real original name, Dum Dum.
What's wrong? Why do you always got to be so insulting?
I'm not insulting.
Speaking of health.
Yes.
And fitness.
Oh, and fitness. Okay, well, this is serious.
Health. Well, it was fitness, but now we're moving on to some healthy stuff that you may enjoy.
Okay, I'll be the judge of that, but
as
on.
If you needed another reason to sip red wine has been linked to a variety of health benefits, including longevity, lower blood pressure, and heart health.
There you go.
That is like the best news most people have heard in their lifetime, right? But it's just like a glass a day. You know, it's not telling you, giving you the okay to have like a bottle a day.
Right.
It's just, you know, keep things in check. So I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but it does boost good cholesterol, that good old HDL.
HDL.
Ooh. Yep. It lowers that bad cholesterol, that LDL. Nobody wants LDL. That's just bad stuff. And it reduces blood clotting. Nobody wants a blood clot. So that's really bad. But some are better than others. So if you're picking a heart-healthy red wine, first of all, dry is the style that you want to go with. So the drier wines are better. And I believe, let's see, there are some different varieties of red wines that are better than others. So number one for consideration is a Pinot Noir.
What is that? Is that a what? I don't even know wines.
Well, these are all red wines.
Oh,
they're
okay.
Different kinds of red wines. So it would be considered the healthiest of the red wines that you can drink. Okay. So the Pinot grapes have a thinner skin, so that has low tannins.
That's what Pinot means? That's the type of grape?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. I had no idea.
Yes.
Thought it was just like some freaking Dago's name that made the wine.
Oh, Pinot. Boy. Number two, now I've never even heard of this kind of a wine. It is a Sagrantino.
That sounds Sagrantino. Like sangria.
It's a
kind
rare
of
grape from Umbria, a region in central Italy. Had no idea, but it's very antioxidant rich wine. Never heard of it. Next time we go to the big wine store, we'll have to try to find a bottle.
Fuck that. We're going to the source. Let's go to Italy.
Sure.
That'll be awesome.
Number three on the list is, you and I both love it, it's a good old bottle of Merlot.
Ah, there you go. Number three, coming in third. That's still bronze. I'll
right?
take it.
Number four.
Ah, there's no fourth
good old
place.
Cab. Cabernet Sauvignon.
Whoa.
That'll do it too. But the list goes on and on. And the list's like, you know, like a dozen different types of red wines and that kind of thing. So there is your reason to go grab yourself a nice glass of red wine this evening.
I have a healthy update here too. Kind of on a similar path, but a little bit different. There was a study that was done that shows there are certain cannabis compounds that prevented COVID infection in a laboratory study. It's true. It prevented the COVID-19 virus from penetrating the healthy human cells. I guess there's two compounds. It's hemp, you know, whatever. One is a cannabigeric acid.
Wait, was that the scientific term?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of vowels in that word. Anyway, there's two compounds there that they are identified during chemical screening as having potential to combat the coronavirus because they bound to the spike proteins found on the virus and blocked a step the pathogen uses to infect people. Boom. There you go, people. Get some weed, get some red wine. You're going to live forever.
Sure.
That is the recipe for healthy living and successful navigation through this year pandemic we're in. I think we're in the end game,
stick with
though.
Exercise.
Well, that helps too. All three. Yeah, I don't think they're really going to promote, you know, pushing
illegal
weed. Well, hemp is legal. And so is marijuana a lot of places, so it doesn't matter.
Well, it's still federally, it's illegal.
Not hemp. Oh, you mean marijuana?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it is. Yeah. All you potheads out there.
Oh, boy.
We need to update everybody. Bob Saget died.
You're really stuck on this.
Yeah. There was this thing I saw too, and you know, there's always people trying to blow back on Rogan with shit, and it always just rolls right off of him and everybody else, and nobody cares. Spotify doesn't do shit. But he had on this guy, Dr. Robert Malone, recently.
Kevin Malone?
Not Kevin. No. Dr. Robert Malone was the one of the people who invented the mRNA vaccine like 30 years ago or 20, whatever it was.
Okay.
And Dr. Malone doesn't think that that's an effective treatment, not treatment, whatever. He says it's, that's not its purpose, was to do this anyway, blah, blah, blah. So he's not like anti-vaccine at all. He's a, you know, a doctor. He helped develop this, but he just, you know, disputes
think this is
the effectiveness of this
for
COVID.
For this
right.
COVID.
But after he was on the podcast, there was more than 200 medical and science professionals that called on Spotify to embrace a misinformation policy after Rogan hosted him. But they call him an anti-vaccine virologist, of course, because he's not anti-vaccine. But fucking 200 doctors and scientists have nothing better to do but to get together, write a petition to Spotify because a comedian had a doctor on and they were talking about different things. It's so fucking silly to me. All of this nonsense. People can say what they want. It's a conversation. Most of his podcasts are like 2.5-3 hours. There's all kinds of wacky shit on there. Who cares? There's people are so worried.
Clearly
about,
they do.
Why?
They feel it is misinformation.
So one guy says something and he, you know, he's clearly a quack. He just invented the vaccine that they're defending so vehemently. He goes on there and says that he doesn't think it's the right thing. And then all of a sudden, Spotify needs to come up with misinformation policies, blah, 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 blah. It's dumb. It's dumb. People say dumb shit all the time.
Yes.
Go look.
And
on...
it's only 200 people.
200 doctors.
Yeah, you know how many doctors there are in the world?
It doesn't matter.
Or even in the United States?
It doesn't matter. It's just dumb.
Well, yeah, but...
go treat a fucking patient.
I'm sure there's stuff like that that happens
something.
All the time.
I'm sure.
I think because it was a conversation of COVID, right, that and vaccines, why it kind of got the spotlight.
Whatever.
But I'm sure there's stuff like that all the time.
I'm sure.
Whether
but...
people are speaking on, you know, Spotify probably gets crap from all kinds of...
oh, God, yeah.
You know, people listen to a podcast, they disagree with what it is, they're the expert, and they yeah. reach out and be like, no, this is wrong, you can't let them play. Yeah, I'm yeah. sure it happens with all different topics.
Hearing a conversation about something that is different from an official narrative is not misinformation. It's just a different opinion most of the time. And you can listen to something, and I've heard people on Rogan's and other podcasts where I'm like, that guy's just a dummy. Like, whatever, what they're saying is stupid. Or you can realize that maybe they just have a different opinion. It's possible. That doesn't mean you're wrong or that they're right. It just means they think differently about something.
Okay.
We can still do that in this world, you know?
Yeah, but you know what? When you're dealing with some doctors, their egos will not accept the fact that their opinion is not the only one.
Oh, well, tough shit for those doctors. You need to be taken down a notch then. I don't give a shit. It's silly. You had a great idea, though, this past weekend, right? Yeah. We've talked
which
about...
one? I have many. Which one specifically
I
are you
I have a list of all of your
now?
Great ideas over the past 15 years of our marriage, and this is the only thing so far that's on it. So we... Hank drinks water like it's... like he attacks it. I mean, like he... I think in a past life, his family was lost in a tsunami somewhere. And ever since then, ever life since then, he has hated water. So he aggressively attacks the water when he drinks.
Yeah.
Spilling water all over the floor. We've had like mats and towels and everything that just get like soaked in a day. So you had the idea of buying this giant water bowl.
It's more like a vat.
Yeah,
if I had to describe
huge.
It.
It's probably
like a vat.
It's like the size of almost like a large pizza.
Yeah. Stainless steel water
yeah,
dish.
Yeah, and your idea was get this and only regularly fill it up like halfway, and it might help prevent the splashing. Mm-hmm. And you told me that, and I thought, poppycock.
Thought I was crazy.
I thought it would never work. But I'm like, all right, let's give it a shot.
And yet here
and much
we are,
to my surprise,
still using
and
the bowl.
To my chagrin, it works much better. Yeah.
very much.
It's hilarious, though, what a big difference that makes. So that's awesome.
Now,
we don't have puddles of water laying on our floor that we have to wipe up all the goddamn time. Although he still does, you know, leave a trail of tears kind of thing when he gets out of there because he's drinking.
It's drooling on. It just runs right off of his face.
But nevertheless,
it's
much improved.
This vat is
so
big, like two of the dogs can drink water at the same time. They
don't have to take turns anymore. It's great. It's brought relative peace to the dog water drinking community in this household.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because Hank is so tall that Sam, who is a stereotypical black lab, can literally fit right underneath him, and they can both drink at the same time. It's peace at the water dish.
Yeah, wow. It's like the Serengeti when there's no lions around. Everybody just gets along like, you want some water, man? Help us. Yeah, get in here.
Yeah, come on. There's plenty of room for you.
What's your beak?
Your beak?
Yeah, why not? There's birds in the Serengeti.
Sure.
There are.
So we've covered water and we've covered wine. We haven't covered mead.
Water, wine, and weed. And not mead. You're correct.
Oh, and meat. Well.
Take it away.
What did we take it away?
Take it away.
One special surprise that we did get this holiday season from my brother was a shipment. Wait, what?
What? Huh?
What's
I was
wrong
thinking
it's
a different surprise.
Anyways, it was a shipment of mead and some really cool horn mugs.
Yeah, made out of actual horns.
Yeah.
They're really, yeah,
they're
I don't even
super
cool. call them mugs, they're drinking apparatus.
Yeah. We're going to have to take pictures
of ourselves
drinking them.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, with that. We can share that. But it came with four different kinds of mead, which we've never had.
I think we've actually discussed it here on the podcast that we have not ever had mead.
Because there was a meadery that opened up in West Seneca not that long ago.
Yeah, not that far from our
sometime. Yeah, it's really close, actually.
Domicile.
But it was good. I mean, it's different because it's like a fruit and honey-based beverage. It's carbonated like a beer would be.
Right. And I'm not a fan of beer. I'm not a beer drinker at all, really. And I've even tried recently all the different IPAs and stuff.
You don't like that stuff. But
this stuff isn't bad.
No, it was good. There was a blood red or blood orange
one.
There was one
that was
really
called
tart.
The Winter Warmer, which is blood orange mead with spices and maple syrup.
That's the one.
It was really delicious. We drank it cold. And for any of the other fellow Polacks out there who have had Krupnik, which is a honey-based liqueur from Poland, it tastes like Krupnik, cold.
Yeah, I would say like a mild, like a, I don't want to say watered down, but...
Yeah, it's not like as strong as...
If you added Krupnik to a drink... That's what it tastes. But it was really good.
That stuff
is good.
It was that one was really good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that one.
So thank you, Paul, officially again. Thank you for we have the horns to the memories of the mead that we drank will be a fleeting thought in our minds, but the drinking horns we have will forever be a reminder of the generosity of the beverages you sent us. So
that's
thank
correct. We can't shout out one and not the other one.
Good.
There was another one that was the Nordic Farmhouse, but this was the one that was I think you really liked it, but it was sour. So
yeah,
this one
was
a little different.
This
one was sour, but it was like drinking Sour Patch Kids.
What did you do? Like blog a review of all of these?
Maybe. Don't you worry about it. But now that we know about mead and our partial like of the mead, we can go down to the meadery.
Right.
And we might find more mead that we like.
Yes, we need more mead, potentially.
Yeah.
We'll see what
we can be part of the Mead Club.
That's not what it's called. You're thinking of Mead Three Ring Binders.
No one's thinking of Mead Three Ring Binders.
Oh, okay. That was a brand, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they make the Trapper
Keepers? They made the Keepers? Trapper Keepers. Nice Velcro cover
Trapper Keepers.
On there.
Yeah, man.
Those were
awesome. That was like a status symbol when you got one of those. It was like you made it to the club.
I never had one.
Oh, sorry. So you didn't make it to the club?
Nope.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Were you?
Yeah, it's sad. You probably wanted one.
Yeah.
Right.
That's how my childhood went. I wanted a lot of things I never had.
Yeah. We're going to be kind of reorganizing here this weekend, maybe.
We are?
Yeah, because I have a new work desk coming, and all this podcast stuff that's on here now needs to be reorganized and reset up over there. on that. So
it's really it's just going to be on a different desk.
Yeah, but I can clean it up a little bit and get it.
You could probably wipe the dust off.
Yeah.
But
I'm just saying, it's exciting. I like doing stuff like that.
Okay.
Trying to run the wires, and I'm going to try and hide them as much as I can. Get these microphones mounted. It's going to be awesome.
Sure.
We'll see.
Someday we'll finish off the attic, and I can have an office someday, too.
Looking into that, as you know, as we discussed. There are some options, but
yeah.
We got to figure out a major structural type thing with you know, construction place up for part of it, because you know, I can insulate it and I can get heating and cooling up there. I can do all that stuff. And I already have electric up there. But I am not going to pop out our roof and build a dormer. We need somebody that...
Or move the stairs someplace where we won't need a dormer.
That's a terrible idea still.
Okay. No, that's still the best idea.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Facebook Marketplace post of the day.
I didn't want to talk over and just let everybody really enjoy that, because
right there, that's my jam.
After all these episodes, it is still, I still get a little tingle when that thing plays, knowing that we're going to get a, who knows, maybe weird, maybe unusual, maybe practical update on something from the Facebook Marketplace.
Maybe. You never know what you're going to get.
Let's find out.
So this week on the Facebook Marketplace post, we have... Are you ready for this?
Yes.
You're sitting down?
I've been sitting the whole time. You're looking at me.
It is an unopened, full, made in Hawaii.
Whoa.
Just like Jason Momoa. An unopened, full, made in Hawaii can of Sierra Mist. It's rare. And it's got a unique ribbed top.
For her
it's
pleasure.
It's an antique rare collector item.
Is it like just an empty can, or is there actually Sierra Mist in there?
I just said it is an unopened, full,
wow,
made in Hawaii can of Sierra Mist.
Just one can.
Yeah, and it's $6 for this one can.
Oh, nice.
It's almost gone. There's only one left, so if you want it, you got to get it quickly. But there's a reason. Do you want to know what makes it so special?
I think everyone does.
Right? Okay, so it was obtained in Hawaii in 2019.
Hawaii.
Not that long ago, right? It's the only place in the USA to use the old-time can press that makes the ribbed top terrace design. So if you saw the can and you have to see the picture of it, the top of the can's kind of got a little ribbed top on it.
Sure.
You'd recognize it, you know, if you're a little bit older like us and you've seen cans.
You're evolve like, oh, yeah. Through the ages.
You're like, yeah, this looks like an old-time can.
Right.
But there's actually a story behind it. I guess all soda cans used to look like this back in the 80s. And to reduce costs, can makers made a change in design to use less raw materials.
Mm.
Hawaii only has one can making plant, and it was too expensive to change it over to the new way.
Whoa.
So here it is, 30 years later, and they're still making the same old rib top cans.
See, Hawaii's an ancient culture in many ways. That's just one of them.
And it was still made with real sugar.
Awesome.
Yeah. So there's that. If you're looking for something like that, this guy will ship it to you for only $8.94.
Now you're $14.94 into this thing?
Yep, for one can of Hawaii soda.
I don't know about that at all. Is it weird that we made Hawaii a state?
Why is that weird?
I don't know. I think because that was only in the 50s, right? Didn't they, or somewhere in 50, Hawaii and Alaska?
I guess so.
I mean, we were still taking over places then. It wasn't that long ago. It seems just weird to me.
It does seem, for us, I guess, when you're looking back, it does seem fairly recent, well, right? In the world of making states.
Like, it's a shit, there's no other places to go. Like, the only other place that we could start, like, infiltrating would be Mexico. Because even in Alaska, there were natives in Alaska. We bought that from the Russians. We set up a military base in Hawaii, and like, by the way, you're a state now. We all know what happened to the Indians in the continental United States. We're kind of an asshole country in a little bit of ways, I think.
No, that's just how it works, man.
Is it? Because all of a sudden we're trying
survival
to stop
of the fittest.
Right, but we're trying to stop countries around the world from doing the same bullshit that we do. You know, you don't want Putin going into Ukraine right now.
Are you going
right
into
now?
The woke culture now?
No, this is the opposite of woke culture.
We were wiser and smarter than they were.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why we had guns and they didn't.
Sure. We had guns because we got them from the British and the French and everybody else that came to the United States as it was being populated. So, yeah, anyway, I just think it's funny. It's weird that, you know, you look at history, it doesn't seem like that long ago that Hawaii became a state. And these
Well, what were they before they became a state? I'm not a good history person.
I don't know,
so.
Wasn't there like a king there? So they were their own like island culture, right? Island.
They're better off being a state anyways.
I don't know about that.
No?
No. Ask Jason Momoa. See what he thinks. All right. We're wrapping this thing up. I told you real quick. I was watching that Neil Peart interview today. God. Listen, just, dude, stop with the bullshit, okay? Chill the fuck out. And he was talking about...
He was talking about
his relationship with Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson, and he's saying even like relationships in general. And he had a really quote that I thought was great. He said, if you share a sense of humor, that's a great start to a relationship. And he said that like they always laugh together, and that's why they lasted so long. And until you just got angry inside of me, I was going to say, that's kind of how we started. But now I need to do some revisionist history, I think.
Okay.
Who's laughing now? No one.
You got issues, man.
I know.
Like big time issues.
Yeah. Well, it was fun. We'll do it again next week.
Maybe.
You're going to go and bike now, huh?
Maybe.
Wow.
Don't you worry about what I do.
Thing. Like, we finally got our bike set up in the basement, airing the tires, everything, so we can cross train on the bikes, too. Nice. Awesome. Cool.
did you fit it all in there really good? All right.
I love you.